You're listening to The Tech Agenda with Ian Kyo, powered by PwC. The currency.news. It pays to be curious.
The way we own things may be about to change. For decades, investment has relied on layers of intermediaries, brokers, custodians, exchanges, settlement systems, all of whom take days to move assets and values. Enter tokenization. This is something that promises something radically different. Assets that live digitally, move instantly, and can be owned in small pieces by investors anywhere in the world. But what is it? And what do we need to know about it? In this episode of The Tech Agenda to discuss this, I'm joined by Nicholas Sheridan, who's the FinTech and Payments Leader at PwC Ireland, and Laurie Keogh, who's the EU Director at Aave Labs and founder of Blockchain Ireland. You're both very welcome. Laurie, I'm going to kick off with you. I'm going to ask you a big question. What is tokenization? Because people hear it, it's a buzzword. They might read about it, but they don't necessarily understand it.
Sure. Tokenization is the digital representation of absolutely anything. So it can be the digital representation of a barrel of oil, of a share certificate, of a fund, of a property. But ultimately, that is what tokenization is all about, the digital representation of something. So think of something paper, like a piece of paper, like a share, that's turned into a digital form.
I'm going to bring you back to first principles, though, when you said the digitalization of it. Because we understand money, we understand something, you know, cash in our wallets, money or an overdraft in our bank accounts. This is a different concept.
Yeah, so if you think about not so long ago when people talked about, let's say, shares or share certificates or bonds, they were pieces of paper. And as time has evolved, technology has evolved, those things have turned into digital forms, which then enables us to move those things much cheaper, better, faster than it used to be in the past. So ultimately, tokenization is that digital representation of things that used to be physical. And the whole area is kind of akin to, I guess, what CDs were to where we are today with Spotify.
Nicola, I see you nodding there. It's a massive industry. And I know PwC have done a lot of research into the area. And some of the most striking stats show that tokenized assets are going to grow from $90 billion in 2024 to potentially more than $700 billion by 2030. Begs a question, what's driving this?
Yeah, so I suppose it's really that kind of concept that Laurie mentioned about things being faster, things being cheaper, more efficient and easier to move around. So I guess if we think about, particularly if we think about the financial services sector, a lot of time and energy and effort goes into moving money around the world, essentially, and moving assets around the world. So I guess if we tokenize an asset or we tokenize financial resources, it is easier and quicker to move that cross borders, cross currencies, etc. So I guess that's really what is driving, you know, a lot of the interest here. There's the ability to have a 24/7 market and do things at any point of any day or night. I suppose there's also a lot of things that can be programmed into tokens. So tokens are the digital representation of whatever the underlying asset is. You can, I guess, create a programmability aspect of those. So if I hold a share and I am entitled to a dividend from that share, there's a lot of people who need to push paper around a lot of desks to actually make that happen until it gets into my account. Whereas if we program that into a token, that all can happen in a much more automated way and also has the full transparency so it can be fully audited. As an audit firm, we always like an audit trail. So, you know, that's another element.
Yeah, and I think a key piece underpinning tokenization is blockchain technology. So anything that a token does is recorded on this shared database or shared ledger where all transactions are recorded. They're very hard to edit, amend or alter, and all the transactions are visible to everybody, to the transaction that just took place right now, to the first transaction on the blockchain. So that leads to that transparency piece that Nicola was talking about.
And that brings it all together. But like, we keep on hearing this thing of the digital wallet and these move, Nicola, just money being able to move seamlessly and all of that. You might just explain to people, and again, I think there's a lot of perhaps skepticism and a lot of uncertainty, and people are just not sure. So you might just talk us through that.
Yeah, sure. And I might just make the distinction between cryptocurrencies and digital assets, because I think those two things are often kind of, you know, referred to interchangeably.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
Yeah, so I think it's probably just good to define cryptocurrencies as currencies that are based and created on a blockchain using blockchain technology, but that is not necessarily the same thing as digital assets more broadly. So digital assets don't necessarily need to involve cryptocurrencies. They can be just the digital representation of any type of asset. So in terms of, I guess, if we think about moving money around and why using tokenization will make that easier. So if I have a US financial institution and it wants to transfer funds to, let's say, its Japanese counterpart, it can often take, you know, 4, 5, 6 working days to actually transfer that money across. So I guess the ability to almost wrap the underlying currency in a token allows the token to be transferred instantaneously. So essentially, for instance, if you want to acquire an asset, the settlement of the funds for that transfer can happen much more quickly. Like if I think about some of my clients and what they're doing in this space. So
yeah, because that's what I'm really interested in, that sort of use case scenarios.
Yeah. So if I think about some of the banking clients that I work with, they are, you know, essentially kind of using tokenization to be able to move money around their own global organizations much more quickly, much more efficiently, so they don't have to have as many kind of manual processes throughout. And that might be in the form of stable coins, which I'm sure Laurie can touch on in a bit more detail. It also helps them to manage risk, which is really important for a financial institution. So essentially, because you don't have that kind of time lag between when you undertake a transaction and when you get paid for it, there's that counterparty risk, which can be very significant for banks. That is lowered, obviously, by virtue of doing it more quickly.
Yeah, so an example there would be a couple of years back, a guy moved over 2 billion worth of stable coins on a Sunday morning at a total cost of $12. So how is that possible? And it's everything that we've just spoken about makes that possible. Tokenization, blockchain technology, stable coins. If we were to try to do that on a Sunday morning, well, A, you can't because the banks are closed, the systems are closed. And then two, for you to move 2 billion, it would cost you literally, depending on which banking partner you're using, it would cost you millions, even potentially tens of millions. So the advantages of this technology and tokenization, stablecoins, and blockchain are seismic. And the numbers, we're not talking millions or billions. This is the story of trillions. So you mentioned the $1 trillion opportunity in terms of tokenization. If you look at where stable coins are, there's a big piece of research done by banks which are saying that the opportunity is between 2 and 4 trillion. And then you look at decentralized finance, to bring up another term, and happy to get into that. That is also another $1 trillion opportunity. So These are big numbers.
Is there an issue, though, to get people to understand it? And I presume, like, there's a lot of CFOs with grey hair, male or female, and they're kind of cautious and looking over this to try and get them to understand it. And I suppose that's what we're trying to do here today, to explain it. But that sort of winning over
That's the journey. And look, I think a key part of this is it's to get your hands dirty. Anybody can download a digital wallet, right? They're free. That's kind of step one. You can then start playing around stable coins on a very limited, you know, 5 euro, 10 euro basis, and see how easy it is to send to the person sitting beside you or somebody across the world.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I guess the piece around this is, you know, from that grey hair perspective, like making sure that the risks are managed here. And I think it's important to understand that the regulatory frameworks for these types of digital assets are getting bedded down. It is still evolving because it is such a quick moving area. But, you know, in Europe, we have a regulatory framework for digital assets called MiCAR. The US is pushing forward. You know, there are a number of other territories across the world that are pushing forward as well. If I think about some of the other use cases, so, you know, in the funds world, the asset management world. We have, obviously, we have a very big funds industry here in Ireland. The next wave of evolution of that will be to tokenize funds so that it is easier to, you know, buy and sell investments. And I guess if we think about the broader EU Commission's focus on savings investment union, getting all of us great savers in Ireland to try and start to invest more of our money, the way to make that easier is to make it as easy as possible to, I guess, have people use their digital wallets and be able to access as many types of investment as possible.
So, Nicola, just from the point of view of customers, and obviously you're talking to companies and they have customers themselves, what's the benefit, the big benefit here for them?
Yeah, so I guess, you know, quicker transactions, cheaper transactions, more transparency, as Laurie mentioned. I suppose the other piece that's really important for customers, depending on what they are customers of, but I guess it gives that access because what you mentioned at the top of the conversation around breaking it down into smaller pieces. So if we talk about assets being tokenized, that allows us to what's called fractionalize those assets. So be that.
Oh, you're taking me too far here now.
Will I make it simple? So if we take, for instance, a piece of art, you can break that down and the ownership of that piece of art can be essentially fractionalized. So you essentially don't need to own the whole thing if you can't, you know,
I've a little bit of a painting.
Exactly. Yeah. Or that can be applied to, you know, an office block. That can be applied to, you know, a share. So you can essentially kind of make the barrier to entry much lower for the consumer. So if we think about, let's say, giving people, so the man or woman on the street, the ability to invest in something that they're interested in. And that could be something like, okay, green energy infrastructure. It could be real estate. It brings the entry point to a much lower point.
And then what you can do with some of those tokenized assets or fractionalized pieces is it's great, I can hold them and perhaps they increase or appreciate in value. But actually what you can look to do is you can either lend them out and then earn interest on them or use them as collateral to borrow other assets. And so that brings up the kind of next iteration as to where
you invest your money,
where we're going. And that is, so these decentralized financed protocols are where we're seeing, I guess, a huge amount of interest by institutions because they can earn yield on assets and it results in capital efficiency. So you spoke about CFOs. What do they care about? They care about how do they maximize the money that they're responsible for in terms of returns for their businesses.
So essentially, tokenization can do for assets what the internet did for information.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned CFOs. We see a lot of corporate treasurers very focused on what they can use tokenization for. So to achieve those goals of being more efficient in how they manage the money of the overall group as well. So I think that's another opportunity.
Yeah. If you look, I guess, you know, treasury departments, treasurers, they're responsible for huge amounts of cash. They move cash for businesses, you know, from Ireland to Mexico and other parts of the world. That takes days, it takes time. So they're obviously interested in how do I do that in a cheaper, better, faster way? And especially when it's their money and they're getting continuously charged for it. So if there's a way to save money from that, that's interesting. But also a significant portion, I think it's even, you know, 5% or even more of large companies' cash is sitting idle, doing nothing. Mm. So how can that be used to earn interest?
Well, actually, it brings me to my next question, which is tokenization is often thought about just in finance. But just from what the two of you have been saying, it can be used in lots of other sectors and lots of other different ways and areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. And generating that yield and that ability to transact more quickly and more efficiently. I think underpinning all of that, though, needs to be the risk management framework. And that's where, I guess, you know, it's all of our jobs to make sure that is, you know, that is sustainable, that
so you're
is robust.
About regulation here.
Yeah,
Nicola.
Essentially.
Where are we on that piece?
Yeah, so from an Irish perspective, obviously being part of the EU, we are within that EU regulatory framework for digital assets. The Irish regulator is also very engaged in the discussion on digital assets and, you know, has recently put out a paper last week on tokenization. So really want to kind of work with industry to move this forward in a way that does manage investor risk, does manage kind of cybersecurity, operational resilience, you know, financial crime risks, etc. So, yeah, I think kind of taking that responsible approach is important for us to kind of build a robust industry here. But equally, you know, things are moving fast, so we need to make sure that we stay apace.
Yeah, and I think there's probably a bit of a misconception, especially nowadays, around tokenization and these digital advances that, you know, they're not in favor of regulation. Regulation brings standards, and standards brings adoption. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a positive thing at an institutional level, at a consumer and retail level as well.
And is there an opportunity for Ireland, I suppose? And we've seen the IFSC, we've seen what we've done in terms of aviation leasing and lessors, or we've been ahead of the curve on those things. Is there an opportunity in relation to tokenization?
Absolutely, yeah. And we have such a big financial services sector. We have such a big tech sector. Like, that's over 150,000 people employed in those sectors. These are the rails on which the next generation of the financial services sector are going to be built. So we absolutely have a really, really, unique position and a strong position to be part of that journey. Like, if I think about my other hat at PwC is exchange traded funds. And if we think about 20, 25, 26 years ago, there were no ETFs in Europe.
Now we own the market.
We own the market. We are the second biggest domicile in the world. And that's because we had the right skill set and we had the right focus and energy to really build that infrastructure. So I definitely see opportunities here for us to do the same.
Yeah. And I think, you know, based on research that's been carried out, I think there are kind of four key things for us to focus on in this space at an Irish level. So number one, we have to be comfortable to make that leap, to take that risk. It seems that we're kind of making headway on the AI front. So I would definitely beg the question.
Yeah, I'm just going to, there's four things, and we'll come back to them. And I'm just trying to bring it back to first principles here. I think people are getting their heads around AI. They're getting their heads around all of that. It takes a little bit longer to get your head around tokenization than it does about other things.
Yeah, and I think there's...
And not to be flippant.
No, I think there's truth in that. And I think what we will start to see is that, as Nicola mentioned, products becoming cheaper, things happening faster, and also having access to more products that perhaps you didn't have access in the past that were only there for ultra high net worth individuals or institutions.
No, I stumbled across you, but go back to your four points that you were making. So
one is taking that risk, okay? Two is having a clear plan. Three is obviously executing against that plan. And the fourth bit is really important. So what we're seeing in terms of the national AI strategy, I think there was an announcement last week that there's going to be a CEO of the AI Office of Ireland, which is fantastic news. But the question I have is, why isn't there one for blockchain, digital assets, tokenization? If it is a $1 trillion opportunity, which all the research is showing it is, then that's what we need.
And obviously, we are looking forward to the next iteration of the Ireland for Finance strategy. Minister Troy, who has responsibility for financial services, especially, I know he's quite engaged in this area. So, you know, seeing kind of, you know, what focus they put on digital assets and the possibility there in that Ireland for Finance strategy will be interesting.
So let's ask some key questions. Companies out there and they're listening to this podcast and they're going, OK, I haven't really been engaged in tokenization. There's a massive opportunity. What do they need to be thinking of or doing?
So it's really looking at, well, where in their organization would this add value? Is it in the context of how they manage their money? How do they generate more yield from their money? How do they move money around the world more quickly? And that doesn't just apply to banks, that applies to any group. Outside of that, it's really, I guess, looking at other opportunities where having a digital kind of representation of something within their organisation would be of benefit. And that will look and feel different in a lot of different organisations. And then how do you actually achieve that goal that you've set for yourself? Do you have the right people? Do you have the right skill set? Looking for, you know, who those kind of key stakeholders are that you need to interface with.
Or you mentioned before this idea of fractional ownership. Let's just touch upon that because I think it's a really key component of what tokenization is. So you might just explain that.
Yeah, ultimately, you know, if there's an expensive asset, you know, it can be held by an institution due to their deep pockets or by ultra high net worth individuals. It could be, as you mentioned, a piece of art. It can be a building. It could be, a whiskey distillery. So what tokenization enables is that instead of a whiskey barrel being owned by one person or a family, it gets broken down, let's say, into 100 parts. And those 100 parts are all basically able to be sold to 100 different people. And then tracked. So if I want to sell one of those tokens, it's visible to everybody else as to what the value is and what it can be sold. But also, if I'm entitled to any benefits associated with that token, then it's very clear who the owner is and then I receive them. So that's
so
really
it's kind of like, you know what, we come up with different terms and different ways of doing it. It's like back in the good old days of the Celtic Tiger, property syndication, and everyone could come in and...
It is a form of digital syndication, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I guess it's about kind of bringing the retail investor in, like bringing them along the journey of being able to hold like types of assets that might generate a higher return that they don't have access to today, and really democratizing access to those assets.
Okay, I like that phrase. Let's close it off now in a moment. But the big message, I suppose, to try and get across to people, to companies, to business owners, to executives, is not to be afraid of this, that it's like finance changes, the world changes, we all move on.
100%. So it's getting your hands dirty. It's understanding how digital wallets work at a corporate level and at an individual level. That really is the first piece. And then look around to
see... That's a matter of breaking down that barrier. And this is the point I think I've referred to a couple of times. Just that sort of... It's very easy for a CFO to say, oh, no.
Then what I would say is they should start looking at maybe what their competitors are doing, or what some of the largest companies in the world are doing in this space, because the numbers are in the trillions.
And Nicola, you're seeing it day to day. You're dealing with companies and, you know, businesses every single day. Mm-hmm. Are we seeing a move into this area, and what are the trends like?
Yeah, I would say we are seeing a number of the largest, like banks, asset managers, insurance companies in the world moving into this and actually implementing it in their businesses. In terms of the next wave of generation or next generation of development, that's probably at the more feasibility study stage. So again, like looking at, well, actually, where can we deploy this in our business? And if we want to be future proofed and look forward to that kind of even the great wealth transfer from a generational perspective, a lot of asset managers are very focused on that. And that new generation of investors are going to be digital first. They're going to look at the digital wallets that they have on their phones. They're not necessarily going to be kind of walking into investment advisors. So, you know, I think a really good stat that I heard recently is that there are more wallets than there are accounts at this point. And that's only going to go one direction. So I think being able to kind of look, yeah. Yeah. So there are over 5 billion wallets in the world. So, you know, I think it's quite compelling to look at actually what opportunity does that represent for those businesses, and how can they kind of harness that? And, you know, as I say, some are at the earlier stages of that journey, but they all know this is coming. So okay. We need to make sure.
Final question. You're at a dinner party, mm-hmm. And you're sitting beside someone on their asking for the elevator pitch why they should be looking at this area. And I'm going to give you about 20 seconds. Laurie, go first.
I sound like a squeaky wheel here, but look, for me, it's 100% that trillion-dollar story that I mentioned. So tokenization is scheduled or due to be, over a trillion by 2030. Stablecoins, over, I think, 4 billion, depending on who you read, by 2030. DeFi, there's already been over a trillion loans originated on the Aave protocol already today.
Wow.
So this isn't experimental. These aren't small numbers.
It's here and now. But that's a key point, isn't it? This isn't, you know, you're taking a chance. This is real. This is tangible.
And now. Mm. Like, let's look at a large Irish payments company, okay, which is, you know, a really pride in place for who we are and everything here in Ireland. They have invested billions into this area. I think they're pretty good at what they do.
I would see the opportunity here. It's once in a generation. We are changing the rails on which the industry operates. It's like moving from paper-based to electronic-based banking, as you know, as we've kind of touched on. It's not an incremental change. It is a full rebuild. So we need to make sure that, you know, we are ready for that kind of future financial architecture.
Well, I think it's something we're going to be discussing again on these podcasts, but I certainly have coming out of it with a different perspective and a more knowledgeable perspective. So Laurie Keogh and Nicola Sheridan, thank you both very much for joining me here on the Tech Agenda podcast with PwC.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for listening to the Tech Agenda with Ian Keogh, powered by PwC, the currency.news. It pays to be curious.